Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for watching and listening here at Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits, everything filtered through biblical glasses. Well, folks, hour number two, and I'm very excited to have my next guest with me. He is a distinguished speaker, author, and researcher on environmental issues, as well as an engineer and a business executive. He's a frequent guest on radio and television. I've seen him on a number of television programs over the years, and it's really a privilege to have him. His first book was Climatism, Science, Common Sense, and the 21st Century's Hottest Topic. He also wrote The Mad, Mad World of Climatism. I want to welcome to the program Steve Gorham. Steve, welcome. Great to have you with me. I greatly appreciate you being with us today.
Hey, Pastor Greg, my pleasure to join you.
It is stunning to me, honestly, how well crafted their argument is and how they have been able to just literally take over. I mean, I remember a number of years ago having Curtis Ellis on, God rest his soul, and Curtis was talking about that, I believe it was Soros at the time, who came out and said, I wouldn't be in the wind business if the government didn't pay me to.
Yeah, that was actually another big financier. I'm trying to think. Berkshire Hathaway. He was the head of Berkshire Hathaway. Said, yeah, if it wasn't for
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the credits and subsidies, we wouldn't be in the wind business.
Right.
We'll think of it.
Yeah, we will. So talk to me about the false narratives and where they're leading us, because the biggest problem that you're trying to warn people about is folks, we're about to fall off a cliff. We did here in Texas, by the way, 2 years ago. When that big freeze hit, the fact that we were shutting down our coal plants and stopping natural gas and turning to wind turbines and quote-unquote green energy, the state of Texas had a devastating event because of a freeze. Talk to me about how that was a precursor to what you're concerned about.
Well, you're right. February of 2021... temperatures got down to about 3 degrees, but that has happened many times in the past. The power was off. They had to shut down the power. Demand was too high. The power was off for 72 hours to 4.5 million people. The estimates are that somewhere between 250 and 700 people died from that blackout, that loss of power. That is more than almost all the hurricanes in history. Very big disaster. And this is just one of the symptoms that is coming of the green breakdown that is coming. We have a nation that, and most of the wealthy nations of the world are trying to switch to intermittent wind and solar renewables. And this is going to cause a breakdown eventually. It's going to cause higher electricity prices. It's going to cause blackouts. We're going to have freedoms taken away from people. And we're going to have transnational energy crises like we had in Europe this last 2 years. And so this is part of the coming renewable energy breakdown.
Warren Buffett, by the way, was the name we were searching for. And I apologize. I attributed that to the wrong person, but yeah, Warren Buffett, was the individual who was receiving all of those tax credits and said, I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for the government subsidizing me in doing so. Why isn't it working? Why isn't wind working? Why isn't solar working? Why aren't these green energy plans working? Or is that the wrong question?
Well, the basis of all this is the fear of man-made global warming, which has seized the world over the last 3 decades. And the world now is marching toward a thing they call net zero. And I should say that the wealthy nations of the world are about 1/7 of the population, the United States, Europe, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and a few other nations. all want to get to net zero by 2050. And net zero means elimination of carbon dioxide emissions. But we emit carbon dioxide from everything we do. If you build a house, if you heat a house, if you have transportation, heavy industry, electrical utilities, all emit carbon dioxide. But what the nations of the world have said that we need to get rid of those carbon dioxide emissions to stop the planet from warming. And what we can't get rid of, we need to capture so-called carbon dioxide capture and storage by 2050. And the world is spending about almost $1 trillion a year on renewables to try and do this. But this is beyond a reach-out goal. This is more like a wish and a prayer. It is not going to happen. We're going to have a breakdown. There's many, many problems if this occurs because renewables are just insufficient, inadequate to replace traditional fuels, coal, oil, natural gas, and their derivatives.
Well, I mean, one of the greatest carbon dioxide contributors in the world is the oceans. I guess they're suggesting we should just drain, we should drain the oceans. If we drain the oceans, most of these carbon dioxide issues that they're talking about would go away. So I guess we should just suck all the water out of the oceans and turn all that into dry land, Steve.
Well, you're right about that. The greenhouse effect is what is blamed for dangerous global warming and our enhancement of the greenhouse effect. The greenhouse effect is sunlight enters our atmosphere. What isn't reflected by clouds is absorbed by the surface of the Earth. Then the Earth, it's a warm body, gives off lower energy infrared radiation, which we can't see. Normally, that would go straight out into space. But on the way, most of it is captured by greenhouse gases in our atmosphere. The molecules of those gases vibrate, and they then re-emit that energy. And that does tend to warm the surface of the Earth. But what people don't know is that the greenhouse effect is overwhelmingly a natural effect. As you say, the oceans themselves hold 50 times as much carbon dioxide as is in the atmosphere, and the oceans are always releasing it and always absorbing it. When plants die, they release carbon dioxide. When they grow, carbon dioxide is absorbed.
Well, and the algae effect too, right, Steve? I mean, the algae Absolutely. Effect that is created by that. I know there were some concerns about large bodies of algae coming into the Gulf of Mexico, but really that's kind of a phenomenon that apparently has an ultimate benefit. And then washes itself back out. It's like a filtration system for the ocean.
Yeah, the biologics in the ocean have a big, big factor. I think most scientists don't really have an idea what that is. But the bottom line is that every day, nature puts 20 times as much carbon dioxide into the atmosphere and absorbs about the same amount back as all of our industries, 20 times as much. And so you never hear that in the press. So when you break down the greenhouse effect, oh, and then one other thing I need to mention is that Earth's dominant greenhouse gas is not carbon dioxide, it's not methane, it's actually water vapor. Water vapor causes somewhere between 70 and 90% of Earth's greenhouse effect, and then carbon dioxide is a much smaller share. So when you put all that together, you find out that humans are responsible for only about 1 or 2% of Earth's greenhouse effect. Everything else is natural. That means if we completely eliminate all our emissions from our industry, we may not even be able to measure the difference in global temperatures. So climate is dominated by natural factors, not man-made emissions.
Well, and another piece to this, I was just doing a quick check, but my thought, okay, this mental mode equates trees to an air filtration, filtering out carbon monoxide. Yeah, okay. So trees, right? I mean, trees require carbon dioxide in order to thrive. And it's funny when I hear you say greenhouse effect. I mean, my old 62-year-old mind thinks I live in Texas, man. Greenhouses are the only way to grow vegetation around here. I mean, if you don't have a greenhouse, you're done. I'm kind of confused as to why it is.
When I speak to groups, when I speak to groups, a favorite question that I like to ask the audience is, and it's a little bit of a zany question, I ask them, so what do cannabis growers know that the Environmental Protection Agency doesn't know? And the answer, of course, is that carbon dioxide is plant food.
Hello.
Any marijuana grower worth his or her salt is pumping carbon dioxide into their greenhouse to make their plants grow bigger and faster.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a regular method. And as a matter of fact, the top 45 food crops in the world that produce 95% of our food all grow bigger and faster with higher levels of carbon dioxide. If there's one compound we could put in the biosphere that is great for the environment, carbon dioxide is that compound. Yet today, because of the superstition of man-made warming, we have every university, every company counting their carbon dioxide footprint. Very, very foolish.
Well, and as a result of that, give us those numbers, because you talked in the green room a little bit about the numbers of people that are starving, the numbers of people that go without food. I mean, those issues are solved if we stop putting concrete over farmland, we continue to harvest crops, and we let the carbon dioxide do what it's supposed to do, which is grow us food.
Well, the good news is we have about 2 billion people that have adequate diet versus 30 years ago. There's still about 600 million people that do not have adequate diet.
Yeah.
But we have many other problems to solve. We have about 700 million people that don't have electricity, don't have access. We have 2 billion people that have blackouts every single day. If you have an air conditioner in the United States, and I think most everybody in Texas does, that air conditioner uses more electricity than a third of the people of the world on a daily basis. And so we have many, many problems to solve. Another issue is untreated water. About 80% of the world's wastewater goes into oceans, rivers, and lakes untreated. Not in the U.S., not in Europe, but around the world. If you remember about 5 or 6 years ago in Brazil, the swimmers didn't want to swim in the water because it was polluted. Brazil's just building the first water treatment plants. We have some issues with plastic in the oceans that need to be solved. But let's quit messing with this carbon dioxide thing. That is where so much money is going, and it really is not really doing anything to help the environment.
Well, I can tell you from working with our pastors and our ministry in India, you know, the issue of food and food quantity is huge. It's an enormous issue, and fresh water. It's one of the reasons that we've put 43 freshwater wells in, is because of the fact that they were using surface water, and the surface water was contaminated. And so you had people that were getting all kinds of illnesses and sickness because they couldn't get to purified water. Steve, it's a huge problem.
It is. Another thing is cooking in India is a big issue. There's so many, many people that are cooking with
open
firewood
fires
and charcoal and dung, open fires.
Yeah.
The prime minister of India has embarked on a program over the last about 7-8 years to bring propane to the people of India. As a matter of fact, most of that comes from the United States. We are the biggest producer of propane in the world, and we ship more than 50% of it overseas. And he has set up hundreds of distribution centers to get propane canisters and then distribute them to people so that they can cook with propane, modern cooking fuels. And what this does is this reduces particle pollution by hundreds of times in a house. And you get rid of the ailments and the disease and the death that is caused by cooking over open fires. So, again, we need to get much of the world modern fuels and improve their lives. But we're not going to do this with solar and wind. Those just are not effective enough sources.
We're not going to do it by continuing to close down coal plants and eliminating the harvesting of natural gas that we're doing here in our country. We had a president previously. President Trump realized that and spent a great deal of time and energy in reigniting and restarting America as an energy epicenter. And I don't know. I feel like, you know, whoever becomes the president, that needs to be a priority.
I think so. We are the biggest, despite the current administration, which has tried to put the brakes on leasing in federal lands and a lot of other things. We're, again, the biggest producer of oil and natural gas in the world. But, you know, there's a big drive to get rid of that. The current administration says we got to get rid of coal and oil and natural gas. We have to rely on China for all these metals for electric vehicles and a lot of other things.
Yeah,
really not a good policy.
You know, when we talk about this too, I know that when you're writing, you know, you're addressing, as you mentioned, being a more secular audience in what you're sharing. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there is a plan, there is a creator, and there was a design. And yes, man is a problem, but man's problems are sin problems. Man's problems isn't existence problems. The fact that man exists, we were put here specifically to exist, to have dominion and to care for the earth, to take care of both ourselves and everything around us, but not to alter God's natural course for how the world was created. You know, it's more of a shepherding than it is. But once again, man's trying to control outcomes that are really above his pay grade, more or less. Am I tagging on something, Steve?
No, I think you're right. From a secular point of view, it is at least clear to me that climate is dominated by natural factors. But, you know, I like to ask Christians, too. First question I will ask a Christian is, do you think the Lord acts in your daily life? And probably most of them, they say yes. And then you know, I kind of wonder, well, you know, Matthew says, Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Clearly, we have free will, and people can do terrible things and terrible things to the environment. But it seems to me quite a stretch that the Lord's acting in your daily life, but he's lost control of the climate now. You know, humans are controlling the climate. That's kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, many Christians believe in the ideology of human caused climate change and the superstition that surrounds it.
Give me in our final, we got about 5 minutes left. Give me the top three pieces of disinformation that are sent out that people buy into that causes them to believe this: humans are bad and we need to be reduced or exterminated.
So one of the endless ones is that we're in abnormally warm times. You hear that in the press every day. I just saw another article. September was the hottest month in history. We had a guy who wrote a paper in July, said that July was the hottest in 180,000 years. These things are trumpeted by the press and passed from publication to publication. They're just flat out wrong. There's much evidence that it was naturally warmer 1,000 years ago when the Vikings, there were trees in southwest Greenland. When the Vikings settled there, there are no trees there today. They're just scrub grasses. 2,000, 4,000 years ago, there's a glacier in Switzerland called the Rhone Glacier. It's a wall-to-wall mountain glacier. That glacier's been receding for many years, but every time it pulls back, they find horse bridles under it, and they find wagon wheels. And one scientist estimates that there was no ice there for 6,000 of the last 10,000 years. So the idea that today's abnormally warm or the Earth is burning is just flat out wrong. The other thing is that, you know, we're causing the oceans to rise, and we could stop them from rising. That's, again, foolish. You can go straight to a site at NASA and find that oceans have gone up for the last 20,000 years. They've gone up about 390 feet. No scientist can tell you when natural sea level rise stopped and man-made sea level rise began. And then the third thing is that we can build wind turbines everywhere and electric cars and change our light bulbs, and we can make storms less severe and stop the oceans from rising and save polar bears. That stuff is all nonsense. So I would urge folks to get a hold of some of my books. The recent one, Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure, talks about all these problems we're going to run into because of green policies. Those are higher energy prices, electricity blackouts, less freedom, and transnational energy shocks like we've had in Europe. It's also, these books are a lot of fun. They're color paperbacks. I've hired a cartoonist. We have 150 color sidebars talking about all kinds of crazy things. But, you know, if your kids are going to school, they're getting all this climate nonsense. You need to get some different point of view, despite what they're being taught in school.
I see one behind you that looks like it's probably kind of fun, and that is Outside the Green Box.
Yeah, Outside the Green Box talks about sustainable development, what I call the four horsemen of the environmental apocalypse. That's overpopulation, but we're not seeing that. Earth's population is flattening. Global pollution, if you look at all major nations of the world, pollution is declining, and the developing nations are going to get there as well. Climate destruction, and the last is resource depletion. We have an abundance of resource today because of human ingenuity. So that talks about all of those four environmental fears and why they're not really problems. Again, color paperback, a lot of sidebars, a lot of crazy quotes, and good reading for all.
SteveGorham.com. You can get all of it at SteveGorham.com. Right along the side is the books, Green Breakdown, Outside the Green Box, The Mad, Mad World of Climatism, and the first one, Climatism. You can pick up each one of those and educate. You know, education is so critically important. We need our kids. We need our grandkids. We need our nieces and our nephews. We need ourselves to be educated about this so that we can, again, use our mind and we can logically defend our position. And I appreciate you, Steve, for coming on and sharing this rich trove of information.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. Always available to talk at any time.
Appreciate it, sir. Steve Gorham, G-O-R-E-H-A-M. You can see it on the screen, but for those of you who are listening on the radio, Steve Gorham, G-O-R-E-H-A-M, SteveGorham.com. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Matt Long and I will be back. We're going to talk about the evil that we are fighting right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you, and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, "What did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.
Appreciate your patience when we do that transition and trying to.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm very pleased, as we do each and every Tuesday in this hour, we join the Matt Long Show on the Hill Country Patriot Radio Network. Matt, welcome aboard. Are you there? Good to have you.
Yes, I am here. Always happy to be here. We may have audio problems this morning, but we're going to work through it.
Okay.
Glad to be here. I'm coming across crackly in my headphones. Hope it's sounding better there.
It did for a second, so we're going to pray that it's going to stay strong. So, yes, sir, that'll be good.
We have a topic today, Pastor Greg, that always makes me feel uncomfortable because this is not something, an idea or a concept I grew up with. I'm coming around to it. I'm not denying it. In fact, I'm in complete agreement with it. But it's still awkward to talk about it. So I'm going to let you introduce the idea of evil in the world today and the manifestation of that, and then I'll point in. So the floor is yours.
It's interesting. I think that, you know, when we look at what's happening, when we look at the conversations we have about what's going on with the children, when we, you know, the gender, the mutilation things that are happening, the perversion that's being taught to kids, the drag queen issues, when we talk about the abortion issues that are going on, we look at the war issues, we look at the horrific events that took place in the Hamas attack, we go back and look at ISIS, we look at how we're seeing crime rates and murder and rape and stealing and all of these things that are happening. And then the corruption that we look at when we look at the individuals that are sitting in governmental power who were supposed to be protecting and defending our rights. And I say all that on the natural plateau to introduce the reality that we are witnessing, I believe, a very real and present evil that is driving all of these things. I've talked about this for years, Matt, on the program here, that in order to try to make it make any kind of sense at all, you have to assign that there has to be some evil force behind the things that are being done, behind the rape trees and just the, you know, the drugs that are being pushed and the child trafficking. And you just, I mean, the list just seems to go on and on. And the destruction of family and the attacks against Christianity and God. So there has to be this force of evil. And you know, Keith Green did a song years ago, and he said, you know, he was parroting the devil and saying, hey, they don't believe in me anymore, so I can go out and openly do so many of the things that I used to have to do in the dark. Oh, I can just go out and do them now because they don't even believe I'm here. And I think, and we're fighting that. Go ahead.
No, that's powerful. And the first thing I put down was that I'd always accepted kind of things in the world that were going on, and I left out, and it's kind of interesting. We would be praying for God to, you know, bless us in whatever way, whether we're looking for a job or in relationship problems, anything. We're looking for God to answer prayers, come forward, and so we're looking at this supernatural good, and yet denying, or not denying at the time, but not giving a face, just saying, well, that's the sinful nature of man, when the opposition to God, we know now, is Satan. And if God is out there operating the way God operates, then we know Satan is operating, then we know Satan is operating. And that is, it's not sin, it's not as much sin as it is evil. And that is where I'm trying to, that is where me and I think a lot of people who grew up in a Southern Christian church that where God was, you know, maybe a clockmaker who just got everything started, wound it up, and he's sitting back watching, to a God that's actually active every day. And that means that Satan is active every day as well. Am I on the right track with that?
Oh, I think absolutely, Matt. I think absolutely. You know, it, and part of the deception is to get us to believe that God is somehow up there, started the clock, and then said, okay, now let's just kind of see where this goes, rather than an engaged God. You know, I mean, as a parent, I'm a father of five. Yes, my adult children have autonomy, and I'm certainly not, you know, micromanaging their lives anymore. But if I see them headed towards a cliff or moving in a direction that I think is dangerous, you know, the relationship is such, I love them, and I'm certainly going to say, hey, you know what, my years of experience have taught me X, and you might want to, you know, not go in that direction or what have you. Obviously, God has a lot more ability to engage in that. I mean, Matt, I think about my accident. You know, there are any number of times and any number of things that could have happened in that accident, and I wouldn't be here talking to you, period.
Right.
You know, his hand was, I believe, on that, and irrespective of what the enemy intended for ill or what have you, God has worked good out of it, which is his promise to us. I'll work all things together for your good. And I think that, you know, so yes, he is engaged and involved in every piece and every aspect if we will just pay attention to it. But the enemy says that he roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And there is a reality to that equation as well. One of the things when we were talking about this last night, Matt, that my wife brought in that I think is very valuable to understand is the idea of symbolism. And I don't want to get us off. I'm not trying to suggest new agey thing, but I want us to understand that the enemy puts a stronghold in physical presence. And whether it's, you know, pictures on a t-shirt or patterns in clothing or what have you. And let me give you some examples of that. You have three kings that when they came to power, the Word of God tells us that these kings tore down high places, destroyed altars. In fact, in one of the scriptures, it says that the golden calf that Moses, or not the golden calf, I'm sorry, the statue that Moses had created that they looked at that healed them of their disease, they had turned that into an idol that they worshiped. They put a temple together and they worshiped that. And one of the kings went and destroyed that. I believe it was Hezekiah. But Hezekiah and Josiah were both actively involved in the destruction of these high places and these figures that had risen up in Israel that the Israelites were worshiping. And God said, don't. And no, not only don't, but he said, you need to cleanse them from your view. You need to not have them anywhere near you or anywhere around you, because they are giving glory to the enemy. They're opening doors in your life. Close the doors.
Wow. The and how does that translate into something to do? We were on another topic last night, and you asked me that question about the topic I had brought up. How does that translate into action? So given that, the symbols and the manifestations that are in our daily lives everywhere we turn, how do we turn that into action? How do we do something about that, Pastor Greg?
Well, I think we need to be, number one, I think we just need to be very aware of those symbols. You know, I mean, there are, you constantly see patterns where you see what appear to be demonic signs or satanic formed emblems and things of that nature. We see it on drink cans. I mean, you can see it all around. If you open your eyes up, you'll see it all around you. How do you address that issue? I think you make choices not to participate. Don't spend money on buying those things. My wife was talking about, you know, Etsy as an alternative. There are a number for women who are looking for a way to, or men that are looking for a way to get clothing that's clean. Etsy is a great resource that you can go to pick up clothing that's not going to be putting out these symbols. You know, you got to think about what you put on, what are you wearing, and is it opening a door? And I'm not talking about walking in fear and you know, a demon behind every rock, but I think that we're at that time in history where Satan knows his days are numbered. And we can look at what happened in Israel and what continues. That's way far from over. We can look at what's happening here in our own country. We can look at what's happening around the world. We're at that point where the enemy of our souls, and evil are rising up in ways that I think 20 years ago we might have thought were unimaginable. Could you imagine 20 years ago that the teacher could not use him and her as pronouns in school or say good morning, boys and girls?
It, yeah, it's just beyond imagination. And that is, I guess I'm thinking that the devil knows the game is up. Satan knows the game is up. And he's known that all along. And he's just going to be doubling down. The scripture on roaring around like a lion, that is so visual and gives you the idea of what it actually looks like. And I guess we need to open our eyes a little bit more and be observant as well as being wise about what we let into our lives and just being knowledgeable.
Go ahead. Yeah, well, and I want to close, because we talked about this. I want to close on some positive notes as well, okay? James tells us, look, your faith is dead if it's not working. If you're not acting out, if you're not taking active steps. When you get up in the morning, one of the easy, there's two things that I would encourage you to do spiritually to get yourself ready for the day. Number one, when you pray, say, Lord, place on me that helmet of salvation. Put on me the breastplate of righteousness. Gird my loins with truth. Shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel. Give me in my hand the shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart. Place in my hand the sword of the Spirit. And now, Father, I declare, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Make your declaration. Remember that you are 1 John 5. You are that overcomer, him who overcomes the world. You are Romans 8, more than a conqueror. But you're only that so long as you have to believe it, and then God will do it. But you have to open yourself up to say, Lord, I want that faith. I don't want my faith. I want the faith of the Son of God that you promised me, actively working in my life, so that no matter what storm might come today, I'm prepared. I know you're going to get me through it.
You know, Pastor Greg, you wrapped it up extremely well, and this is positive. We have the power. We just need to use it. Pastor Greg, it's always an honor to have you on Tuesdays, and it's always a blast to visit with you on Monday night. Thank you again for joining us.
It is my sincere pleasure, Matt. God bless you. God bless the hill country of Texas. God bless Texas. God bless America. And may his kingdom come. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
All right, Bob.
Thank you, folks. I just want you to know on fire to see this. As I look at what we're doing here, there are things I hear people talk about as I'm processing what's out in media, and I'm sure that you're doing the same thing. And I think, you know, questions that are being asked about Israel and the background and Netanyahu and all of these things. That's the reason why God has had me interviewing people like Dr. Wormser for the last, golly, 2 years at least, because God knew where we were headed. And you know, when we talk about, you know, well, we're, you know, what do I do, and how do I do this, and how do I do that? You need to claim the promises of God. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I've talked before extensively about how important the faith walk is. And, you know, when we think about Job as an example, here's a guy that was doing it right. And the devil came in and said, well, you know, if this happens, he's going to turn on you. And God said, well, go ahead, try that. And then he said, well, if I do this. And all the way along, God knew Job's heart. They had this relationship. And Job's friends would come and they'd say, well, you know, you must have done this and you must have offended God. And Job just kept going, no, I don't think that's the case. I can't tell you exactly why God chose me, but I don't think what you're saying is the answer. And Job finally did kind of reach his end. And that was the point in which God really corrects Job. But up to that point, and it's essentially saying, hey, you've trusted me to hear. Remember who I am. That's what God said to Job. Remember who I am. And put your trust in that. And we're in a place right now where walking in the Spirit and putting our faith and our trust and our confidence in the Lord is becoming the only way through. And it's going to get more intense. It's not going to get easier. That's what Jesus warned us about. He said, if the time were not shortened, even the very elect might lose heart. So, where we need to go is deeper in. That's where we have to go. We need to get closer to the Lord. Not pulling away, but also not being in the kind of the just outside the waves. We need to come into shore. We need to be standing on that rock right now in ways that maybe we never have before in our lives. To where when someone says, well, what do you want to do? Your first thought in your mind is, Lord, what would you have me do? And then past that, you know. You're so in tune with what God is wanting to accomplish that you can't imagine moving in a different direction. To where John 15, and he says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends, because servants know not what the master is going to do, but I've revealed all these things to you. The revelation is there. The understanding is there. The ability to know that statement. I believe it was the Lord who said, if I'm telling you the things that I'm telling you, if you can't get these things, how will you understand the things of the Spirit? And that is a clear indication to me as to how significantly important the things of the Spirit are. Everything we see, everything around us, right this minute, is temporal. It's all temporal. Even this is temporal. But what's inside, who we are, soul and spirit, that carries on. So what we do to enhance that, to build that, to feed that, to store up those heavenly treasures, man, this is the time. This is the time for that to happen. And I pray for, we have such a massive issue with single moms, women without husbands, women whose husbands are there but not there, and an out of order condition, because that's one of the things. If you look at 2 Timothy, that's what he addresses in perilous times. He says women who are going to be trying to get to the truth and never able to get there. That's such a scary statement. And as men, at the end of the day, that's on us. That's on us to help them get there. And we need to pray against this lying spirit about toxic masculinity and patriarchy and all of that. God's the one who established patriarchy. God's the one who established man taking care of the woman. God's the one who established these orders, and done properly, everyone wins. Dad, mom, the kids, the community, everyone wins. But only when God is the head. So I challenge you to go deeper with him. He wants you. He loves you. He desires that intimate relationship. And I pray that you'll pursue him. God bless you. I'll be back tomorrow, early tomorrow. David Shostokas is with us. We'll kick things off early tomorrow. So that'll be 8 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. That's my only really early day of the week. All right. Have a great rest of your day. Texas Fully Loaded coming up. I just know that Sandra is going to have some wonderful words of wisdom for you. Texas Fully Loaded coming up right after this brief break. Or maybe not.